sometimes controversial, always politically incorrect, and pro-life without exception, without compromise, and without apology. It's the Pro-Life America Podcast with your hosts, Sarah Waits, and the president of Life Dynamics, Mark Crutcher.
Hello, guys. Thanks for joining us again. As always, we appreciate your being with us. This is Mark Crutcher, as you heard, and I am joined by my charming associate here.
That didn't sound at all sarcastic.
She's lurking on the other side of the table, Sarah Waits.
Hello, everyone.
Some interesting things going on this week that we need to talk about. And we got a very special guest here with us here, Nicholas Heald. I'm sorry. I asked him how to pronounce his name, then I pronounced it wrong.
Why even ask?
I don't know why I bothered to ask. Hello,
sorry,
Nicholas. How are you, sir?
I'm very blessed. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for joining us. Where are you right now?
I am in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Okay. We saw the report you sent me and others had sent me videos of this brutal assault against you.
This was outside a Milwaukee high school.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
And you were on a sidewalk. You weren't trespassing on any of their property. You were on a public sidewalk.
You had every right to be there.
Had legal right to be there. And one of the little, I would say, animals that go to this school that you were in front of came up and...
popped you in the face.
It was pretty vicious. Knocked you down.
Mm-hmm. And then him and a friend, I guess, started kicking on you while you were on the ground.
It was very brutal. First off, Nicholas, how are you doing now? Are you okay physically?
For the most part, yes. I did suffer a concussion from it. And just, I guess, to put this out there, I have no memory of anything that happened, or I have no memory of being at the high school or being driven to the hospital afterward. But like anything I'm saying is based on what I've seen on the video itself. And what I didn't actually know at first, I'd seen my body cam because I always wear a body cam on the streets. Mm-hmm. And so I knew I was punched, and I was thinking that someone was doing something to me on the ground. I just didn't know what. And there was a woman with me. She had her body cam, and I was able to see that later. And when I saw her body cam, I realized that both these guys, the second guy that was standing right next to the other guy, and we think that they planned this in the few minutes leading up to it. And what happened was they both jumped on me after I fell into the street. And the second guy, he took his foot to my head and I guess smashed my head into the street, the concrete. And so that would be how I got my concussion and my memory loss.
Yeah, now let's make sure people understand. You were perfectly legal where you were, and you were simply delivering pro-life messages to these kids.
Yeah, basically what I was doing there was giving them the gospel, telling them that we were there out of love for their souls, and telling them that thousands of babies are being murdered every day. I had a sign showing them a live baby and a baby that's been murdered, and I do that most places I go at high schools, and so that's what they were seeing, and I said, this is what we do to babies in Milwaukee and all around America. And so that's what they were saying and the message that they were getting.
There's something I want to point out that I noticed in this video, because you said that you thought it was planned. The first guy that hit you and continued to attack you once you were down, in the videos that I saw, to me, it seems like he states twice that he is intending to hit you. And it seems like he was telling either a security person for the school or a faculty member. First time, it sounds like he says, I'm going to hit him so hard in the, and I don't know what he says. And the second time he says, hey, we're about to beat the beep out of him. Now, the second time he comes right up to the security guard or faculty member. And it seems like he's telling him, you know, when I was in school, that person would have immediately stopped what was going on or tried to get them away from the situation to try to de-escalate things. He just stands there. And then after you're down on the ground, he starts to casually stroll over there. And it looks like from the other video that the woman took, he's not even the one that pulls the people off of you. I could be wrong, but it shows a different guy pulling someone off of you.
That's correct. Yeah. The guy that got them to stop beating me or get off me, that was, I believe, a security person. Mm-hmm. The person that you're talking about, his name is Jeff. Mm-hmm. He's actually the principal.
Oh, really?
Yes, ma'am. He was the one that the guy told him moments before the attack. I forget his exact words. I'm going to beat him up so good, or I'm going to knock him out or something. Mm-hmm. He's telling the principal that. And you can see in the video that's standing like basically right next to them.
Yeah.
And did not react at all. And we're actually seeking, because neither of our body cams caught this, but they took my sign because you can see the sign in the street as I'm on the ground. Mm-hmm. They took my sign in the school because I'm asking on the video, where's my sign? We can't prove this without maybe the school the cameras can prove this, but we suspect it's the principal that took it in because it's obvious he did not want us there. He made that clear. Mm-hmm. And so they took it in. I did get the sign back. We had to go to the school and had to even threaten to call 911 for him to, you know, give the sign back. And none of the faculty showed any concern at all. And he actually had his arms behind his back as the attack's happening. And afterward, after I got back up and began preaching again, he told me to go away because I don't think he was expecting me to get back up after that and keep going.
Yeah, I was impressed too. I was like, man.
And then after he said go away and I refused, I just kept preaching. That's when he turned the siren on his megaphone to drown out the preaching. So he basically showed that not only did he not care, but he was glad that it happened. And
yeah.
And I don't know what all his involvement is beyond just, I guess, depraved indifference. But I didn't know this until Thursday or Friday of last week that he was a principal. Because I looked on the school website and he said his name was Jeff. And that's the name of the principal. It's the only Jeff there.
The reason we're talking about this, now we've seen so many over the years examples of this. I mean, we saw a 67-year-old grandmother get beat up in front of an abortion clinic and the police did absolutely nothing about it. Yeah. And she was standing in on a public sidewalk protesting abortion.
She wasn't being threatening. She
nothing.
Wasn't doing
she
anything
just standing
to justify
there.
It.
And this
woman just comes out and then boom.
This animal comes running out of the abortion mill and beats up this 67-year-old woman. So we've seen this sort of thing before.
Yeah.
And I know you've always been watching the materials and videos and shows and stuff we put out, Nicholas, so you know this is true. I've been saying for years that the closer we get to victory, the more violent the other side will become. And what you experienced is a manifestation of that. That's exactly what's happening right here. Satan is getting his people to become more and more violent the closer God's people get to winning this battle. And we are getting a lot closer. We are a lot closer than we've ever been in the past. And I think that's what's happened here with you.
Yes, sir. What we see is the Bible happening in front of our eyes, 2 Timothy chapter 3, where tons of manifestations, people disobedient to their parents, lawlessness, no respect for elders or authority. And I mean, in this case, they got physical, but even when they don't get physical, I've been preaching on the streets for over 3 years now around the country. And I'm heartbroken by all the kids in high schools and even younger that are just no respect whatsoever, just foul language. And mm-hmm. What are their parents teaching them? How are they raising them? And I was just at a high school this morning. I was at a Lutheran high school yesterday. And at the Lutheran high school, so-called Christian high school, many middle fingers, many F-bombs.
Yeah.
And even disrespect, there's a 65-year-old man with me, and I saw a little respect for him at a so-called Christian high school, Lutheran high school, and it breaks my heart.
Well, it's more evidence, too, that we now live in a post-Christian America. And, you know, Obama got in trouble, some degree of trouble, back when he was president for saying, we don't live in a Christian nation. And of course, he meant it in a different way. He meant it was not supposed to be a Christian nation. That mm-hmm. was his argument.
Yeah.
But what he said was, we don't live in a Christian nation. And what we should have been saying is, you're exactly right. We don't live in one. We live in one that was supposed to be, but that's not what it's devolved into. And that's where we are right now. And let me ask you this. Have the police done anything about this situation?
Well, I talked to them on Friday. I was doing an interview outside the school across the street, and the officer Yang is his name. He actually was at the school at that time, so he came to talk to me, and he said that the first student, because there's two of them involved, the first student was suspended, and he was on his way to arrest him to his house. So they did that, and I know that the only reason they did that was because they're under pressure.
Right.
That's the only reason. All the people calling in, emailing, demand, like, what's going on with this? Are these kids being suspended? Are they going to be arrested?
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the second assailant, the one who kicked me in the head and smashed my head to the ground, I'm actually going to be following up with the officer today. I emailed him yesterday and called the police department, haven't heard back. So I'm going to call them today and ask two questions. Has the second assailant been apprehended? Have you arrested him? And also, have you got the footage from the school cameras? Because we need to be able to see who took that sign. Probably the principal, but we need to be able to prove that. And maybe that you're going to ask this question as well. I'm not sure, but I am planning to file a lawsuit against the school.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
because even if they cooperate and identify both guys, I do believe they need to be sued. Because at the moment, what's to protect a street preacher or a group of street preachers who go out there now? Like, one of the reasons that these guys need to be charged and a lawsuit needs to be filed is that if another street preacher comes out here, he has no protection. He could get beat up because they're like, well, Christians, you know, they just get beat up and they just look the other way, turn the other cheek. If you sue them and if you make them pay for what they've done, then they're going to learn, oh, I can't do this because I'm going to go to jail.
Right.
Well, what happens if it's not even a street preacher? What happens if it's a student? You know, they have an obligation. If they're not willing to intervene when something's going to get physical, regardless of whether it's another student or a street preacher. If I was a parent and I had children there, I would be very concerned.
Well, the fact that you have someone from the school, the principal or whoever mm-hmm. he might be, that's a part of the staff of that school standing there mm-hmm. doing nothing while this is happening.
And clear warning, too. Yeah. And this guy saying, I'm going to hit him. I'm going to beat him up.
Right.
And he just stands there.
This is emblematic mm-hmm. of why the American public school system is collapsing.
Well, see, the schools I went to, if that had happened, the scenario would have played out very differently.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think this is emblematic of a school. I think this is emblematic of this school. I think it's emblematic of the people who run this school.
Well, what you're forgetting, though, you're assuming that your school is still, that you went to, is still like that today. And that was many years ago.
It wasn't many. I'm not that old, but yeah.
Well,
it's been a few years. It's been a few years.
It's been 13 or 14 years since since you were in high school.
Back in my day.
But, I mean, not like me. And Nicholas, if you want to see examples, you were talking about earlier about no respect for their elders, you just need to come to this office once in a while.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
and watch
sure.
Sheila and Sarah as
sure.
their relationship with me. I mean, I'm 73 years old. I'm not going to get a whole lot more elder, you know. But if you think that I get a lot of respect from Sheila and Sarah around here, I mean, you're fooling yourself. But nonetheless, yeah. That's another issue for another time. But if people think we're exaggerating about this, mm-hmm. I challenge them to go watch the video. Where can they see the video of this, Nicholas?
Well, it's on my YouTube channel. My YouTube channel is just my name, Nicholas Heald. I can spell that real quick.
Go ahead.
NICHOLAS, my first name. My last name is spelled HEALD. Mm-hmm. And it's also on my Facebook. I have body cam footage. And if anyone wants to call the school or the police department, I have that information on my Facebook. It's the Riverside University High School in Milwaukee. And the police department is District 1. Mm-hmm. And Officer Yang and Officer Orlando. Officer Yang is the one I'm in contact with to see what's going on with the case. So if anyone wants to go to my YouTube channel and my Facebook, the footage is on both of them. And if they want to contact them and put pressure on them to see, talk to the school, talk to the police, make sure that both these guys are apprehended and just put more pressure on them, then that would be helpful.
Apprehended and charged.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, charged. And as my pastor said, neither of them should be given less than a felony.
Absolutely.
And we'll put the links to those videos in our description.
We'll put the links to the videos here. And I want to encourage everybody here that hears this story and sees these videos and so forth. We've got to put pressure on that school system and on that police department so that they know they just can't say, oh, well, we're going to walk away. It's no mm-hmm. big deal.
Wash their hands. Deal.
It's something that I try to convey to Sheila and Sarah around here. The squeaky wheel gets the oil. Maybe it shouldn't be that way, but mm-hmm. that's life. That's human nature.
Well, I mean, it's sad that you have to call and put pressure on people to do the right thing, to do their job.
Well, if Nicholas had just stood up and walked away from this deal and said, oh, well, that's the price I pay for being out here, mm-hmm. they would have never gone to the school. They would have never gone out and arrested this guy. If they did, Nicholas, you need to follow up and say, you told me the other day you were going to go out and arrest the first person. Did you arrest him? And now what are you doing about the second one?
Yes.
We've got to hold their feet to the fire. That's all there is to it.
Yep. There's also a point I want to make, and you've actually made this point yourself, Mark, on your program in years past. I've used what happened to encourage others. Do not go out to these death camps. Do not go out anywhere to the streets preaching, giving tracts out, holding a sign without having some way to record.
Absolutely.
Don't do it. Yeah.
Because if we weren't filming, this would not be a case. These guys would walk, the school would have no accountability, and the police would do nothing. If you take away the body cams and the Facebook Live, the phone, and this would not be a case. Very few people know about it.
You're 1,000% correct. And we have seen this time and time again, and I have said, as you've pointed out, I have said for years, do not go out here to these places unless you are well covered by video cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And video cameras that cannot be easily taken away from you, because we've had that happen as well. But
yeah. Yes, sir.
Anyway, Nicholas, please keep us informed about what's going on here and what progress is being made. Or I guarantee you what they're hoping is that you just go away. That's what the hope is right now. And you've got to deliver a message that you, and I hope our listeners deliver the message that the pro-life movement is not going to go away.
Yes, sir.
We're going to do what it takes to make sure there's justice for this situation.
Well, and take care of yourself too, Nicholas. And, you know, we'll be praying for you and your condition. It's hard when you get hit in the head like that.
It could have been a lot worse. Mm-hmm. I mean, my nose does hurt. I don't feel a lot of other pain than that. I got a bruise on my lip, and I have, thankfully, no memory of what happened, but maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know if my concussion is just healing. I'm not sure, but I'm overall okay. It could have been a lot worse, and the Lord protected me. I know that.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we've got to go, but I'll just give you one piece of advice here, and you can do with it what you wish. Yes. I wouldn't leave this in the hands of the police alone. If I were you, I'd be on the phone this morning to the district attorney's office and make them aware of the situation and see what they're going to be willing to do about it, because the police might just blow it off.
I guess quickly, what would I say to them about it?
Just tell them what happened and show them the video. And tell them that you're not happy with the response that you're getting from the police department, and you want the district attorney's office to do something about it. They can bring charges too.
Okay.
So I would make sure that they are very aware of this situation and very aware that you're not going to go away.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, Nicholas, thank you for being with us today. We appreciate
thank you,
your
Nicholas.
Time, sir.
Thank you, Mark, for having me.
Bye-bye, sir.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Oh.
It's rough.
Yeah, it is. Let's talk about a couple of other things here. First off, everybody, we've covered this new Texas heartbeat law.
Of course, the last two shows, which we'll put the links for those in the descriptions. And
right.
You definitely don't want to miss them.
Now, an abortionist named Alan Braid.
Mm-hmm. Of the Alamo Women's Reproductive Services in San Antonio.
He has openly stated that he has performed an illegal abortion on September 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing it basically to challenge the new law in Texas.
He says, "I acted because I had a duty of care to the patients, as I do for all patients, and because she had a fundamental right to receive this care."
Care, yeah.
"I fully understand that there could be legal consequences, but I wanted to make sure that Texas didn't get away with its bid to prevent this blatantly unconstitutional law from being tested." Now, an interesting point. Troy Newman of Operation Rescue says that in the article, he admits that he's losing money. He says he clearly has lost 80% of his business due to the new law. This makes illegal killing of that innocent baby all about making sure his pockets continue to be lined with blood money.
Right. And of course, the enforcement mechanism, if people are not aware of it, in this Texas law, is that individual citizens can bring lawsuits. Now, what we have here is two citizens are bringing lawsuits against Braid, both of them by pro-aborts from outside the state of Texas.
Hmm.
And they are clearly, they're openly stating they're not bringing these lawsuits because they agree with the law, which is the position you would be in that situation. They're bringing the lawsuit to expose the law and to challenge it. So in other words, what they're trying to do is sabotage the prosecution of Braid. One of these guys says he thinks this will be fun. He's doing it because it'll be fun.
He thinks it'll be fun.
Fun.
This is a guy who's clearly never been in court.
I'm sure he has been. Oh, I know he has been because he's under indictment himself right now.
Oh, really?
He's currently under house arrest, and he's awaiting a trial for tax fraud.
Okay.
So he's a charming individual himself. But anyway,
You can't make this stuff up.
Oh, no. But he's disbarred and is... The other guy that's bringing the lawsuit has openly stated that he's pro-choice and he's bringing the lawsuit too. Now, here's the interesting question here. Our legal system is supposed to be adversarial. You don't have people on the same side of a suit representing both sides.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if there's a judge out there that's going to allow this to continue. This is a sham.
Yeah.
When you have people on both sides admitting that
this
they're on the same
lawsuit.
Side,
yeah.
That they're on the same side of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
The judge should not allow these two guys to be bringing this lawsuit. This lawsuit ought to be being brought by people who agree with the law that Texas passed and is suing.
Because they believe in the law.
But that's what they're supposed to be doing. You shouldn't be having pro-aborts joining forces on both sides of the issue to challenge the law in Texas. That's not the way an adversarial system works.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll see how this plays out.
Operation Rescue has filed a complaint with the Texas Medical Board. seeking to get a suspension of his medical license. We'll see what happens with that, too.
The interesting thing here will be to me, if a judge does not throw this out based on this fact that it's not adversarial, you have both sides on the same side, that judge is corrupt. That judge is part of this system.
Yeah.
And that judge is thoroughly corrupt. But anyway, we'll
wait
and see.
Speaking of corruption.
Speaking of corruption, the name Joe Biden leaps to mind. And he's doubling down on his pro-abortion commitment.
Yeah, he fired Kurt Condrich, a father of a teen with Down syndrome, whose name is Chloe, from a National Disability Council. Two guesses as to why. Now, some people are saying that it may be because he was appointed by President Trump, and Biden has been terminating Trump-appointed presidential advisory council members. And an interesting thing about that is that he's violating a long tradition of permitting council appointees to complete their term.
Yeah, this is the Presidential Commission for Persons with Disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And historically, like you were saying, the tradition has been that even if you don't want
like
these
the person or want them there, yeah.
Presidents have allowed them to complete their term. You don't fire them for no reason. This guy's being fired because he's pro-life. It's very obvious.
Yep.
And he's got a Down syndrome child, and she's also very, very pro-life.
Yep.
So Biden has thrown this guy out. I guarantee you he's making brownie points with the abortion lobby.
Well, and I'd like to go over their credentials because it's clear you can see why Trump appointed them. So Kurt and Chloe have spoken at the United Nations. They have lobbied at both the state and federal level on behalf of people with disabilities and have become known internationally for their advocacy. They also played a pivotal role in passing Chloe's Law, which is a Pennsylvania measure which provides education and support materials to parents who receive a prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome. According to the article that I read, this has become a model for the rest of the country.
Okay, so these guys had all the credentials they needed to be on this board.
Yeah.
They're being fired because they are openly pro-life. That's why they're not there anymore. Like I said, Biden is trying to increase his credentials with the baby-killing lobby in the country. And I don't think he needs to do that at this point. It's pretty well established that this is the most radical abortion supporter in the history of the American presidency.
Well, we've talked about on the show before that the belief in eugenics is becoming alarmingly more popular with some parts of the population,
right?
Especially within the pro-choice community. You have, quote, bioethicists who are clearly supporting eugenics.
They're saying these babies ought to be killed after they're born, up to a year or so later.
Yeah.
You have these guys openly stating, even if the parents just don't bond with the child.
Yeah.
Not necessarily anything
for
wrong with
reason.
The child.
But especially, they say it's especially if there's something, quote, wrong with the child,
right.
It becomes their, quote, obligation or duty.
To abort these children
with
Down syndrome. And I'll tell you this right now, I've known lots of people in my life that had Down syndrome children. I've never heard of one of them who said, I wish I had killed this child. Most of them will tell you these are the most loving, kindest children you will ever have in your life. And most people just adore their children with Down syndrome. The people that don't are the eugenicist and the abortion lobby, and that's one in the same group now.
A person with disabilities has the same value and the same right to life as a person without.
Right.
And if you can't understand that and you can't see how the world needs people of all shapes, sizes, abled and disabled, then you clearly have something wrong with you.
We covered a story several years ago on Life Talk. I think it was in New Mexico of a couple who were concert musicians.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of them was a violinist, one of them was a pianist or whatever. Anyway, they were concert musicians.
Yeah.
She became pregnant and it was determined that the child had a disability, was missing a thumb.
Mm-hmm.
They aborted that baby because of that. That was a disability enough in their mind to kill that child because they wanted him to grow up to be a concert musician of some sort.
Well, parents want their children to grow up to do all sorts of things. Doesn't mean that's going to happen.
Right.
Thumb or no thumb.
Yeah. So what constitutes a disability?
Yeah. Well, see, I have ADD. And when I was growing up, especially in elementary and middle school, it was made clear to me by some of the teachers and people at the school that they believed that I was broken, that I wouldn't amount to much, and I felt it. And it made me so angry because they treated me like I was less than. And one time I was damaged goods. And one time I took this test because clearly I was bored in my classes. And I qualified for one of those accelerated program. And my mom met with a teacher, but and this is what my mom said. The teacher told her that She wouldn't take me because I wouldn't amount to much of anything. The best course for my life, just put me on drugs and just get me through life.
Right, right. Well, we saw that a lot back in the days when you were in high school or in elementary school even, that they were drugging up kids and it was disgraceful.
Yeah.
Speaking of disgraceful and Biden administration, those two terms go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Our country is in deep trouble. And, you know, this may have not been noticed by a whole bunch of people, but it should be.
Yeah.
The Treasury Department now under Biden, the Biden administration is declaring that the IRS will be monitoring all transaction, financial transactions in the United States. Right now, they do it over $10,000.
Or multiple transactions equaling $10,000 in one day.
Right. Okay. That's the way it is now.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to reduce that $10,000
to $600.
$600.
And that's going to be, I'm sure, up to $600 per day.
Well, that... Some people have car payments that are more than $600.
Rent payments are usually over $600.
Yeah. So the IRS now, if Biden gets his way on this, they're going to have the ability to monitor basically every financial transaction you make nowadays. $600 is not a very low barrier.
No, I mean, this is going to affect everybody. And the only reason I can think of that they want to do this, besides anything nefarious, is that they're trying to implement more and more programs that they simply don't have the money for. And this is basically cleaning out the couch cushions, trying to find all the change that's been lost in the couch.
There, I think you're being kind.
I said beside anything nefarious.
Let's remember something. And those of us who are old enough, when Richard Nixon got in trouble, one of the things he was accused of doing was using the IRS to go after his political enemies.
Yeah.
He was accused of it. He was never found guilty of it. There was some evidence that he had done this, but he would have people's taxes audited just to cause them problems.
I want to point out something. This also applies to Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, which has become an increasing...
Yeah, which I don't understand how that works.
But. Yeah, that's a whole other thing, but that's been an increasingly valuable asset in this country right now.
Well, if you reduce it down to $600, what you're saying is we can at any time we want to monitor anybody in the United States' financial records.
Well, and that doesn't just include banks and loans and investment accounts. That also applies to things like Venmo and PayPal and Cash App when you're sending money to people.
Yeah, it's outrageous. I guarantee you they're setting up a system where they'll be ratcheting up the number of people that they can intimidate by using the IRS. That's what this is about. And this is exactly what they're doing. And if you don't think that that's what they're doing, think about this. During the Obama administration, they overtly used the IRS to go after political enemies. You remember the situation where conservative groups were being denied tax-exempt
status,
501c3 tax-exempt status, whereas liberal groups were not being. Obama was doing exactly what Nixon was accused of doing and led to his impeachment.
Yeah.
Obama was actually doing it. So obviously in the modern Democratic Party, this concept of using the IRS to go after your political enemies is now okay. They have accepted this because no Democrats were raising a ruckus about what Obama was doing. And you had to have hearings in the Congress to expose all of this.
Well, because this is such a low amount, Patrick Hedger of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance said something really interesting in an article by the Daily Mail. He said that the Treasury's move blatantly violates the Fourth Amendment, which protects citizens from unreasonable search and seizure.
Well, it obviously does.
Yeah.
So they're saying if you do anything that involves $600 or more, we can investigate your financial status. We can investigate your financial
which basically
dealings.
Allows almost anybody.
Yeah, it allows the IRS to go after almost anybody in the country. That's what this is about. Make no mistake about it. If not, you need to tell me. Somebody in the Biden administration needs to come out here and give me a legitimate reason why you would do this. I've always had a problem with the $10,000 limit. I'm thinking, if I wanted to just give you $10,000, I don't, by the way, but if I wanted to give you $10,000, what business is that of the government? But the $10,000 thing, you could kind of see it. They were saying, well, drug dealers deal in a lot of cash, and we want to be able to investigate. If we see $500,000 all of a sudden go into some bank account, we want to be able to figure out where this money came from.
But $600.
But $600. It's obscene. And if people don't pay attention to this, they're going to get away with it. And this is just more example of how the Biden administration not only hates America, but they're collapsing this country.
Well, I think it's important to remember two things. One, The IRS for years has already been swamped. And so the manpower it would take to do this is just astronomical, not only on the IRS level, but for the banks themselves, because they have to send all this information in. The other important thing is there was a 2017 report done by the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, so TIGTA, on the IRS Criminal Investigation Division, seeing how much of those IRS investigations on the $10,000 limit actually yielded anything. So of those cases that the IRS had looked at, out of the 278 cases, only 26 or 9% of investigations established that the funds came from an illegal source or was involved in another illegal activity.
So 90% of them were perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But they had the right to go in there and look at all of them nonetheless.
Yep.
Now it's going to be down to $600. Mm-hmm. So that 200 number or 281 number would balloon up to 15,000.
Yeah.
Or whatever the number might be. Mm-hmm. This is dangerous and people need to be paying attention to this. And this is an example of why we need to be watching everything that these Marxists that are in power today, they are out to destroy this country because they want to replace it with their vision of what government should be. And this is a good example of it because they'll be able to threaten and intimidate every American with this type of $600 limit. So it's pretty scary. But anyway, that's all the time we have. Our show ran a little long today, but we had a lot of interesting things to talk about. You got anything else?
Oh, just if you like the show, be sure to leave a rating. We've got a link to do that in the description of each episode. We also ask that you go ahead and follow the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. We're on a bunch of them like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Podcast Addicts, CastBox.
You go through this whole
litany. The list goes on.
Right.
Well, for some people, this is their first episode that they're listening to, so they need to know.
Okay. And please get your friends to listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just tell everybody you know, listen to the podcast. You'll learn what's going on in the pro-life movement. We'll tell you stuff that nobody else is going to tell you.
Or nobody has the stones to tell you.
Right. That's whatever it takes, this stupidity to tell you, whatever. Anyway, we're done. Until next Thursday, remember, Life Dynamics is not here to put up a good fight.
Mm-mm, we're here to win.
Because winning is how the killing stops. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.